today as we come to the table.
And this really, guys, what a picture of Satan this is. You know, Satan is a hard taskmaster. You don't think Satan's a hard taskmaster, just ask the person who's used to the hangover. They may not realize that it's Satan that's running their life and ruling it, but it's hard. It's difficult. And this is why we're in bondage before Christ, and then we're free afterwards. Serving Satan is hard labor. But Jesus said what? His yoke was easy and his burden is light. And so as believers, you know, we're like, okay, you know, we need to come out from under this hard bondage, or rather as unbelievers, we need to come out from under the hard bondage of the enemy and walk in the freedom that the Lord gives us.
What a sneaky and demanding taskmaster the enemy is. He doesn't offer breaks. He doesn't take care of you. He wants to tear you down. He'll never give you all you seek. Satan is harsh, unyielding, and he'll trick you into doing exactly what he knows will be harmful for you. Don't fall for it. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark will talk with you today about what freedom there is when we get away from Satan. There's hope and joy and blessing in Christ. And today, you can have that freedom. You can walk away from the enemy and accept help from Jesus. Don't spend another minute under the tyranny of the enemy. Now, turn to Exodus chapter 5 and join Pastor Mark as he concludes his message, The Darkness Before the Dawn.
Lastly, Moses tells Pharaoh here that if they don't obey God, notice this, he says, you know, we have to go into the wilderness and the desert to sacrifice. Notice he says, lest God fall upon who? Note that. Us. Now, did God say he was going to fall upon the Jews? No. He said, I'm going to fall upon the Egyptians if they don't let you go. I'm going to fall upon Pharaoh if they don't let you go. So it's interesting here that Moses now includes the Jews in this judgment as well, but really God never said that. And, you know, God said he would do it he would make a difference between the children of Israel and Pharaoh, and he's going to repeat this later. He'll specifically show a difference. So why did Moses say this? Again, I don't know. But as a pastor, I mean, I look at it from a pastoral, I guess, standpoint, going from youth even to growing older in the Lord, you know. It could be that he was taking a softer approach at first just to see how it went, you know. And if you walk right up to Pharaoh and, you know, Pharaoh, you know, let us go or God's going to judge you, you know, that's kind of an intimidating thing to say. And let's put ourselves in Moses' sandals. Imagine you're going to the White House and you're walking into President Obama or whoever the president is, and just for example's sake, and saying, God told me to tell you this and you've got to do it or you'll be judged. How do you think you'd feel? Yeah, you might go in there and say, you know, God, I feel where God's really put something in my heart and I need to share this with you. And we probably would have a tendency to soften it, wouldn't we? It may be that this was just kind of the growth process in Moses. He wanted to, you know, maybe he was a little bit afraid. Again, I don't want to say what it was because it doesn't really tell us. But either way, it's not going to make any difference to Pharaoh. Pharaoh had no intention of letting him go. And here's something I want you to grab about this. I do think we should use tact and love and grace when it comes to presenting the truth in the gospel, especially when the message is hard. But understand this. If we soften the word of God and we take part of it out and don't give the full gospel, it's not going to affect people to want God more. What affects the heart of people is the full word of God. That's really what changes the heart. So if we go and say, you know, I don't really want to say that you're going to be judged for adultery, so I'm just going to say, you know, God really doesn't like it when we're with other people we're not married to. You know, God doesn't like that. It makes him sad. Well, is that true? Is it, yes? Is that watered down greatly? Yeah. So what do we do? You know, we also don't want to walk up and say, you're an adulteress, you're going to hell, right? This kind of thing, right? You see the extremes on both ends? What do we do? Hey, God loves you. But if you're committing adultery, the Bible says God will judge that one day. And you've got to repent from it, and Jesus will forgive you. But here's what he said. Come to the cross, receive the Lord, and he'll give you a brand new start. So look, you did it in love, but you did it in truth, right? Speak the truth in what? Love. That's right. And so I don't know what the process Moses is going through here, but the bottom line is when it comes to tough situations, no matter how hard it is to deal with, we still need to deal with it straightforwardly and truthfully and let God handle the results. God will do that. Sometimes it's handled well, and sometimes it's not handled well. Sometimes, you know, you're going to get people that are very upset with you, and sometimes you'll have people that are broken and they repent. But the thing that I think needs to be in our mind and our heart is that, you know, we need to be true to the Lord and true to His word. Again, Moses says, you know, He's going to fall on us if we don't do this. And so the king of Egypt, notice, said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. Notice the only thing he's worried about is making life hard. Get back to your labor. Notice his first response. You're just trying to get out of work. Go back to work. And you know, when I see this whole interaction between Moses, we're going to see this between Moses and Pharaoh and all that goes on, there's a real picture here of the believer and the enemy. And the way that he tries to control our lives and work in our life, it's like a picture of Satan here in a couple of ways. Notice, first, he doesn't want to set them free from their labor. He knows that if you come to the Lord, you're going to be set free. And he doesn't want, you know, them to be off of work to worship God. Things haven't changed much, have they? It's interesting to see the fight against being set free, first of all, becoming a Christian, but then especially in a culture that begins to get more oriented away from God to try to pull the believers into working on worship times. You know, it used to be that, and I'm not going to say, you know, this, we're not under the law. You're not breaking God's word by working on Sunday. And some people I have to, and there's other times they can go to church, be it Sunday night or Wednesday night and all that. So I'm not going to get into all that and lay a trip on anybody. But it used to be in our society that pretty much everybody was closed on Sunday. And there was that whole picture, United States wide, of, you know what, we need to reverence this time to allow the believers to go and seek their God. And yet how many times do people come to me and say, Pastor Mark, I'd love to come, this and then whatever, but I just can't get off of work. I see that oftentimes as a spiritual battle. I really do. And I encourage them, pray. Ask for God to move in the heart of your boss. Is God greater than your boss? He is. I remember when I first became a believer, and of course I was, you know, everything I've done pretty much my whole life has been radical. You know, that's my personality. Whatever I do has been radical. If I'm going to do something, I do it like just every second, every day, nonstop. And so when I came to the Lord, the same thing, which I'm glad in the Lord. In other things, it can be a real problem. In the Lord, I was glad, you know, that it's that way, because you can really, you know, get focused on the Lord and all that. And I remember I came to the Lord and I was working at that time in Nashville at a pet shop, of all things. You know, when you're trying to make it as a musician, you do whatever. I was working at the pet shop and they were not going to let me have off on church times. I remember going to my boss saying, you know, I really need off on church time because that's, you know, I need to seek the Lord with all the other people to see. I'm sorry, if you're going to work here, you have to do that. And I remember just going to the Lord, just, you know, that, I hate to say that baby faith, because the baby faith is really the strongest until we kind of grow more mature and then just start believing Him again. It kind of seems like we start out in strong faith, then we start thinking too much, and we have years of thinking too much, and the faith isn't as strong. Then we get older and realize it doesn't matter what I think. God's God. So there seems to be kind of a growth pattern in believers. Great faith, great faith. And I was in that great faith on the front end of it. And I just said, God, make them do it. Make them let me off. You know that I want to be there. You want me to be there. Make them do it. I went back in. He said, you know what? I've been rethinking that. He had told me, absolutely not. It is not negotiable. If you're going to work here, do it. It was like one prayer. I go back. Okay, go ahead. You can have off. I was like, yes. And I think it's just, you know, going to God and saying, God, this is the enemy just trying to pull me, you know, away from what he wants me doing in you. And you guys, you know what it's like in our society today. A lot of people, you know, I think the enemy can get them so busy that they don't have time for the things of God. Be careful with that. And so you need to go to your boss, you know, when it comes and say, thus saith the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't do that. That would be dramatic, but don't do that. And so Pharaoh said, look, he's, you know, get back to your labor. Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor. What a great accusation. Isn't that great? Wouldn't it be great if people said to us in the spiritual sense, you make people rest from their labor. They were trying to work their way to God. They had a great religious thing going and you had to introduce Jesus. Who do you think you are? How much bondage religion puts people in? And then you find Jesus, you're just free, right? You're getting people to rest from their labor. I don't think God's done it all. I just get to enjoy Him now. I get to enjoy Him. Others think this is a great accusation. If people were to accuse us of helping people to rest from their labor and seeking the Lord, you know, the early church had this same thing. They had a great accusation against them. They said, you know what? You guys are turning the world upside down. And I thought, wow, what a great accusation. Wouldn't it be great if we at Calvary Chapel were accused of turning Knoxville upside down? If the church was accused all over the United States of turning the United States upside down? That'd be a great accusation. In reality, it would be turning what the world, you know, right side up, because it's already upside down. We would just be turning it right side up and introducing, you know, the Lord back into it. And so he says, you're making them rest. Don't make them rest. They need to be working and busy and not able to do this. And so the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before, but let them go and gather straw from themselves. Now, here's what they would do. They would go and gather. The way they made the bricks back then, they would stomp in the mud. And as they stomped in all this mud, in these mud pits, they would bring straw, and the servants of Pharaoh would come and bring straw, and they would give them straw, and then they would scatter straw, the people would, that were working in the mud, all through the mud, and they would stomp the straw down in it. And then they would take the bricks, and they would lay them up, let the sun dry them, and that's how they made these bricks. So this was a very important element of making the bricks. And so Pharaoh here is saying, look, don't give them straw any longer. Let them go and gather straw from themselves. Now, again, this means their workload would hugely increase. Because now they're not only having to do all the work they had to do, they've got to go and find their own straw to do it. Now imagine that. You're being supplied straw by the government to do it, right? To build the government buildings, the government city they were building. Now you've got to go out and just find it wherever you can find it. And we're going to see, you know, that's exactly what happens. And history shows that. It's interesting. I jotted down something here for you about how they did bricks in Egypt. And we actually got to see a demonstration of this. They had a little, when we were in Egypt on one of the Israel trips, we took an extension to Egypt, and they had this boat ride where you kind of went through and saw how Egypt worked in the ancient days, and they had a demonstration there of how they made the bricks and the way it looked and all. But this article here from Manners and Customs, Freeman's Manners and Customs of the Bible, says this: the ancient Egyptian bricks were made of clay moistened with water and then put into molds. Okay, you'd moisten it, stomp in the straw, and then put them in these molds. After they were sufficiently dry, they would be removed from the molds, and they were laid in rows on a flat surface and exposed to the sun, which gradually dried and hardened them. When strengthened with straw, sun-dried mud bricks were a sturdy building material so long as they were protected from direct rain. So you could use them as a structure for your building, but your roof would go out over to protect it from the direct rain. Some bricks were made with straw, some without. Many had chopped barley and wheat straw, while others contained bean holm, I guess is how you say that, basically stems and stubble. This crude brick was generally used in Egypt for dwellings and other ordinary buildings, tombs, walls of towers, fortresses, temple enclosures, sometimes small temples. Archaeologists in Egypt have found examples of bricks such as these with and without straw. And he goes on to describe what they were like. So you get a picture of the kind of bricks they were making. The Egyptian bricks were frequently stamped with the name of the king who was reigning at the time. Their size is different from the Babylonian bricks. They range from about 14 and a half to 20 inches long. So big bricks. And from about 6.5 to 7 inches thick. So think about that. These are big bricks. Several bricks bearing the name Thutmose III and plainly showing the chopped straw used in their manufacture are in the Abbott collection, which also contains some of the ancient implements that were used in brick making. So you kind of get a picture of what the bricks were like. Well, now Pharaoh's saying to them, look, don't, you can't have the straw. Now you got to make them on your own. And so he says, you shall lay on them. Note this, verse 8, but you shall lay on them the quota of the bricks which they had before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. He's basically saying, look, they're lazy. And that's why they're asking to go and have this worship time. So give them more work to do. Don't let them have less. Give them more. And let the labor, look at verse 9, let more work be laid on the men that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words. Now, a lot of stuff in this. Notice, first of all, he says, let more work be laid on them. Same amount, less materials to do it. And this really, guys, what a picture of Satan this is. You know, Satan is a hard taskmaster. You don't think Satan's a hard taskmaster, just ask the person who's used to the hangover. They may not realize that it's Satan that's running their life and ruling it, but it's hard. It's difficult. And this is why we're in bondage before Christ, and then we're free afterwards. Serving Satan is hard labor. But Jesus said what? His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so as believers, you know, we're like, okay, you know, we need to come out from under this hard bondage, or rather as unbelievers, we need to come out from under the hard bondage of the enemy and walk in the freedom that the Lord gives us. But again, and I've already stated this, remember, we have to understand as Christians, just because we want to do something that's good does not mean that Satan or the world is going to like it. As a matter of fact, the opposite is going to be true. Notice Pharaoh says, not only keep the same quota of bricks on them each day, but take away the straw they had to make their own. That would mean going about and grabbing whatever you could find. And again, we already talked about the process. This wouldn't have been an easy thing to do. And so you have to understand that when you make that serious commitment, here's where they are. They made a serious commitment. We're going to follow the Lord. And when you make that serious commitment to follow the Lord, don't think it's going to get, you know, more gentle or more easy. It's going to be harder. A lot of times even harder in the workplace, if you will. So again, this whole picture of the enemy turning up the heat, making it as difficult as possible. And notice this. He says, and let them stop regarding false words. What's he calling false words? The word of God. This is God's word, he's saying. You're regarding false words. You're believing in the word of God. And again, he's trying to discourage us from following the word of God, not believing. You don't believe the Bible, right? You know, it's ridiculous. You're trying to follow the word of God. It's nonsense. And so we see the same tactics here that Satan has used throughout history. He's using now with them. And notice it says, the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and they spoke to the people saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. So they make the announcement. You're not getting straw. Now imagine being those guys in that hot sun, working in the mud and the bricks. You're like, what do you mean we're not getting straw? You know, how are we supposed to make bricks? Well, that's for you to figure out. Go find your own materials. You know, you're trying to build a house. And he says, all right, go out and find your own materials. We're not going to drop them off and supply them anymore. So you can see the panic that would set in here. Notice, go get yourself straw where you can find it, wherever. Yet none of your work will be reduced. Man, disheartening. And again, you know, remember, guys, when we make that commitment to the Lord, it can be very, very disheartening and depressing when the opposition of the enemy comes in. It's interesting, another article from Manners and Customs of the Bible in Freeman's, you know, says that they have now found these bricks, that not only the bricks that show, you know, that had the straw in them, but they also found that one of the punishments they used to give to people was they would take away their supplies. If you did something that didn't, you know, please the taskmaster, they would take away your supplies and you had to find them yourself. So again, historically, we see that's exactly what happened. And so he says, go and find it. And notice the taskmasters forced them to hurry, saying, fulfill your work, your daily quota, as when there was straw. So they're standing over them, forcing them and driving them and pushing them as the enemy does, you know, in our life. And also the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten. And they were asked, why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today? So now they're attacking them. They're picking on them, saying, keep the work up. Don't stop it. Now, another interesting historical side note. They have now found bricks from the city of Python, which is one of the cities that they believe Pharaoh was having the children of Israel build. And guess what they found? On the lower level of the bricks in Python, they found that they had straw mixed into the mud bricks. But guess as they went up the wall, what they saw happen? Finally, it got to the point where about midway up, it was nothing but stubble that was in the bricks. And then finally at the top, you had mud that had nothing in them at all. So exactly what God said was happening here in Exodus is exactly what we now can show historically did indeed happen. So God is true to his word, and that's exactly where they are. So now notice what happens. It says, then the officers and the children of Israel came, and they cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why are you dealing thus with your servants? So the bottom line is, you know, hey, why are you doing this to us? Why are you beating us when this isn't fair? We don't have, you know, any more materials, and you're picking on us. Remember, Satan doesn't care that it's hard on you, does he? And so he says, look, why in the world are you doing this to us? What have we done? There's no straw, verse 16, given to your servants. And yet our taskmaster is saying, make brick. And indeed, your servants are beaten, but the fault's in your own people. You're beating us, but you know, it's not our fault. We don't have the materials that we used to have. But he said to them, you're idle. Let me translate that. You're lazy, lazy. Therefore, you're saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Therefore, go now and work, for no straw shall be given to you, yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks. Keep the same work up. And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble. Notice I have that underlined. After it was said, you shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota. Why? Because they had just appealed to the highest court in the land, Pharaoh. He said, tough luck. You're stuck. Not going to work. So you're in big trouble. They knew they were in big trouble here because they have no hope now beyond this. And notice then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron who stood there to meet them. Now here's Moses and Aaron. They receive the message from God. Go and tell them, do this. They go and give the message to Pharaoh. This is the result. And now how do you think they feel? Remember, guys, when you give people the right counsel, when you give the proper counsel based on God's word, does it always immediately get better? No. As a matter of fact, sometimes it gets way worse. But is it still the right counsel? Absolutely. The word of God. Now, here's poor Moses and Aaron. Here's the pastor and the assistant pastor. Look what you've done, you know, to our church. Especially what's going on here. We're going to see this the whole way through as they head out through the wilderness. But they meet them. They stood there to meet them. Notice they said to them, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you've made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and the sight of his servants, to put the sword in their hand to kill us. And so he said, you know, you've made this. We're blaming you. You're the one that's done it. And again, oftentimes, guys, when you give the word of God to people, they're going to get mad at you. They're going to blame you, like you've done something wrong by telling them what God's word says. But again, remember, we've got to be faithful to the word of God, regardless of the results. And so they give the word of God here. And notice this, you know, he says, God judge you for what you've done to us. And so Moses returned to the Lord. Imagine Moses going back and saying, wait a minute, now I got the call. I got this vision, the whole burning bush. I meet Aaron. God, you've confirmed everything. I know that I'm called. I mean, I've got to be called right. I've got to be called right. How many times do we see young pastors go through this, or people in the missions, or maybe you step out in ministry? You step out because you know you heard God to call you, but the moment you did it, everything starts falling apart. And you start wondering, God, did I really hear your voice? Listen, I want to encourage you. Yes, you heard his voice. That's why everything's falling apart. Because you're on the 10-yard line. You're on the 5. Satan knows you're about to get a breakthrough. He's going to throw everything he can at you and try to stop you. And so Moses said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? And he starts asking the why questions, you know. We don't always know why. Well, why have you done this? Why is it that you've even sent me? I mean, why am I here? If it's only getting worse since I've come here, Lord, why have you even sent me here? You know, this is, I understand this. Am I not serving you? Am I not loving you? Am I not doing what you've asked me to do? The reality is, it's because you're serving the Lord that this is happening. Because he's trying to do his best to make you and the people miserable so that he can discourage you and get you to stop. But the breakthrough is coming. And notice his last statement here. He says, for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. And I guess I can't leave us on that. We're not really going to jump into chapter 6, but I got to read verse 1 because you need some hope. You know what I mean? I mean, here you are. You've been called. You're doing what God told you to do, and it's gotten worse. And then you're going, God, did I miss you? Is something amiss? What's happening? No, God wants you to know tonight you're right on target. You're doing exactly what he's asked you to do. The enemy's bringing in the defense. He's trying to stop you from crossing the goal line. He's turning up the heat to discourage you and make you quit. And notice Moses does what I've done and probably what all of us have done if we've ever faced that is, Lord, you know what? I mean, I've even said to the Lord before, God, am I making it worse than if I had not done anything at all? You know, maybe I shouldn't have done anything. It seems like it's worse now, you know? But listen what God says to him. The Lord said to Moses, now you're going to see what I'll do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let them go. And with a strong hand, notice this, he will drive them out. He won't just let them go. He's going to say, get out of here. I'm tired of messing with you and your God. Go. So guys, where does this leave us tonight? Here's the bottom line. Look, don't be discouraged. If you're in the middle of circumstances where it seems like it's getting harder, the more you're trying to serve the Lord, you're probably just right on target. Because the enemy's going to oppose you more. But God's going to bring you through. You be faithful. God will bring you through. It doesn't mean it's going to get easier the more committed you get to the Lord. Although it may seem hopeless sometimes, I want to encourage you. Don't lose heart. God has a plan. And God knows when the breakthrough is going to be. And as I said at the beginning of the study, you know, it's often the darkest just before the dawn, at least in the spiritual world. So be encouraged. Stay the course. Continue to call the plays. Continue to trust your quarterback. He's the Lord. Continue to fight for the goal line. You're going to get a victory. You know, I love it. The Bible says that the hardworking farmer will eventually reap the harvest. He will eventually reap it, even if there's a wait. So whatever God's called you to do, take heart and continue on in it.
The Old Testament book of Exodus might sound like a far-fetched plot line for a movie with lots of CGI, but the truth is, the accounts in Exodus actually happened, and there were startling results for the Israelites, as well as for the people of Egypt. God proved his sovereignty, reigning over weather, an entire nation's economy, and most importantly, the hearts of people. There was much loss and devastation that occurred due to consequences that God handed out in Egypt, but through this, he showed his might, power, and ability to bring his people who were imprisoned to a state of freedom. Now that's a plot line to get behind, seeing God bring about redemption on a grand scale. If you're wrestling with anything you've heard today about God or his ways, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray about anything that feels unsettling. You can fill out a question or comment form at thewaymedia.net. Under the Come to the Table link, you can also give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come join us at Calvary Knoxville, Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the link at the bottom of the homepage to get service times and directions. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Pastor Mark has more to share from this book next time, so make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.